interesting, right? Doctor, never give up. I was in company with Mr. Fulmore a little while ago, and I asked him to give us some songs, and this is one of the ones he gave me, which he wrote, Chuck Fulmore. Never give up.
The title is Never Give Up. Love that. I love that title. I need that title.
There are days I know when you get so discouraged, it seems that all hope is gone. But there's only one who can give you courage and the strength to carry on. Never give up, Jesus is coming. It's the darkness just before dawn. Never give up, Jesus is coming. Never give up, keep holding on. This old world I know, when you can't last much longer, and the sin will soon pass away. But my faith in God simply keeps getting stronger, for Jesus is coming soon. Sorry. Never give up, Jesus is coming. It's the darkness just before the dawn. Never give up, Jesus is coming. Never give up, keep holding on. Never give up, keep holding on.
Amen. Thank you. I needed that. Dr. Dexter Thomas is the director of Phone Faith Ministry to the Blind. He will give you later at the end of his, before we get off our segment of this evening's services, he will give you the telephone number and how you can reach him and how you can assist and aid in his ministry. I admire Dr. Thomas for several reasons. One reason, because we have a connection. We have many connections. One, we're sons of the living God. But also, he served as the associate pastor of a church that I pastored a few years ago, my second term at that church, and I pastored many years ago, maybe 30 some odd years ago, where I met my late wife, the Beacon Light Church in Richmond, California. Dr. Thomas, while he was there, he began a ministry in Richmond, California, entitled Phone Faith. And it has expanded. He, since then, has associated himself. Well, let me give you a little more detail here. Phone Faith is directed by Dr. Dexter Thomas, a former adjunct professor and pastor. He has a doctorate. And I forget the seminary from which he obtained his doctorate. I think it is in Oakland, California. And he also taught as a professor there. He's a writer and an evangelist. been blind since birth. So Dr. Thomas is acquainted with physical challenges. He also currently serves as disabilities coordinator for the Florida Conference and is a columnist for the Christian Record Service, an institution of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. He has preached throughout North America, Canada, the Caribbean, Japan, Ireland, and England. Recently, he has preached twice at the church that the Lord, that I was pastor of. We recently built a church. It's a mission in Spring Hill, Florida. It is the Hernando Mission Church, and he recently preached twice at the church, once while I was there and once after I retired. He has authored two books, From Rags to Ruin, Stories and Sermons from a Street Preacher, and another book, Messy Revival, Funny Stories for a Change. His greatest desire is that the faith of millions of blind people will be strengthened as they are connected, educated, and inspired through the Phone Faith Ministry. We will give him opportunity to explain what that's about. Maybe I better give you the telephone number and address now so we don't lose time. Phone Faith Ministry to the Blind. Please write this down. 1681 Northwest, NW 70th Avenue, Suite 112, Plantation, Florida, 33313, zip code. I'll repeat, 1681 NW 70th Avenue, Suite 112, Plantation, Florida, 33313. Telephone number 256, area code 604-9369. And there's also phonefaith.org. Dr. Dexter Thomas, director, Phone Faith 4U at gmail.com. Phone Faith 4U at gmail.com. Dr. Dexter Thomas, immediately following our song, we've had the song by Earl, immediately following the prayer by Sister Peggy Ann.
Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful to be afforded the opportunity to meet here on this Church Without Walls, Lord, for our midweek service tonight. Lord, I thank you so much that your Holy Spirit's presence is here with us, Lord, and we pray in a special way for each one who is here and each one who will come, that your Holy Spirit will go down through each telephone line, Lord, and that you will manifest your presence in the lives of each one who is on this call. Thank you so much for the leadership of our dear Pastor Brewer. Blessings on the ministry and song of Elder Earl coming in from Ottawa, Canada. And Lord, we present your son, Dr. Thomas, Dexter Thomas. Pray in a special way, Father, that you will burn bright the Christ light within him. And as he comes to speak to us tonight, I pray that your Holy Spirit will go forth from him, granting each one of us a fresh experience of you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Doc Brewer, thank you so much for the kind introduction. I want us to look at the book of Psalms, the 84th chapter, verses 10 and 11, and it reads, "For one day in thy court is better than a thousand elsewhere.
I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tent of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing shall the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. I'm interested in verse 10. One day in thy courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. And I'm interested in it because of a question. And the question is that our experience? Genuinely, seriously, are you enjoying your relationship with Christ more than every other earthly relationship or endeavor? Seriously, it's like Auntie Ellen says it in Desire of Ages, or what that steps to Christ. Does he have your most cherished thoughts, your most noblest ideas and intentions? Does he capture your greatest pleasure? You know, one day in thy courts. I think there are a couple of things that leads us to having extreme joy in our relationship with God. There are a couple of things. And there are a couple of things that prevents us from having that also. Let me begin with the first thing is this. Is a lot of times we fail to realize that happiness is a choice. God don't put happiness in your cereal or places it in your in your poster. Happiness is a choice. You have to choose to accept the joy that he has to offer. You have to plan to show up for it. It's a choice. And a lot of times, people somehow think it's going to come naturally. And they don't experience that one day in thy courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. So Doc Brewer shared that I'm blind. In fact, I'm born legally blind. And the funny thing I tell churches is legally blind means they will not allow me, they will not give me a driver's license. But that never really stopped me from driving. But that's legally blind, right? No. I remember living in Berkeley, California, while I was at a campus of the university there. And I had a couple of choices. There are always choices before us, whether it's made in a millisecond, whether we give long thought and deliberation to it, but there are always choices before us. I could choose as a blind person to remain in my little apartment, feel sorry for myself, and complain that the world does not serve me. I can, you know, order a cake, light candles, and have many pity parties. That was a choice. The choice that a lot of us make. A lot of us make it because we are aging and the body don't function like it used to. A lot of us are making the choice because we may have fallen on financial hard times. We've made that choice to throw pity parties. But I wanted to do something different. So what I did, I took a bus. And the bus took me to the train station, which we call the BART, the Bay Area Rapid Transit. And then I went to Richmond. And then from Richmond, I would take a bus, and it took me to Fairfield. That's like 2 hours one way because I'm not driving. And I hooked up with my buddy, and we go bike riding together. Now, don't try this at home. Don't blindfold yourself and go riding. It's a very scary experience. But we go bike riding, a lot of bike trails in California. We ride along the freeway. And I'm riding my own bike, and he would direct me, right? He would say, left, right, pothole, light pole. And he's directing me. And then he would see people, and he would ride ahead, and he would tell them, blind man coming. And they would jump aside, and they would start cheering me. You know, but let me tell you, the thrill, the excitement, the fulfillment of, as a blind person, of being outdoors and trying new things, it's amazing. It fills me with a lot of happiness. filled me with joy. But again, it came about because of a choice. So a lot of people don't experience that one day in my course is better than a thousand elsewhere because they haven't made the choice to have the joy of God. They haven't made the choice to be happy. I remember my sister worked on a cruise ship, visiting me for about 10 days, had to spend two Sabbaths. And I felt ashamed. I felt guilty. I felt as if I had disappointed God in how I represented him. She left my house. And the only thing she knew about Sabbath is, don't put on the TV. Don't do this. I should have planned hikes. I should have planned walks along the seaside. I mean, I should have planned a picnic. I should have planned Sabbath in such a way that she would leave saying, I need to start keeping Sabbath. I don't know if you all are fully with me. You need to make that choice. You need to plan ahead. You need to plan joy moments in your day. One day in the court is better than a thousand answers. How in the world did David? How could God be so fascinating? How could he provide such delight and intense fun and excitement? What for God? I know Psalm 16 and verse 11 says, in thy presence there is fullness of joy. And at the right hand there is pleasure for it. But how do we get to that point? Happiness of the choice. The second thing is this. I remember Moses. Remember old Mo, he went and he got the Ten Commandments. And got off the mountain, the children of Israel, they had built a calf and he slammed it, turned it into powder, made them drink it. He was mad, crazy, livid, mad. And decided to go back up to the mountain. Mm-hmm. And God said, I'm going to destroy them, Moses. Moses begged and said, God, you can't do that because the folks are going to say, the heathens are going to say, you brought the folks here out to kill them. You won't look good. God said, I'm going to destroy them. Moses, think about it, man. I'm going to start an entire nation with you. I'm going to start over with you. So if Moses had said yes, we would not have heard about the train of Israel, but the train of Moses, right? And Moses said, but God, listen, you promised Abraham, mm-hmm. Isaac, and Jacob. And let me tell you, man, this is Exodus chapter 32. God honors his promises.
Yes.
You're going through difficulties, you plead the promises. You press the promises. You pray the promises. He honors his promises. Numbers 23. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he says it, he's going to do it. If he promised, it's going to come to pass. Hebrews 6:18 says that it's impossible for God to lie. Titus 2 and verse 2 says that God just cannot lie. He honors his promises. So God says, Moses, okay, you got me. You backed me in a corner. Prove me now. I have to honor my promise. If I said it, I'm going to do it. But Moses, listen up. I'm going to send the angel to protect them. They're going to get the land flowing with milk and honey. But Moses, I won't be there. I won't be there because I'm in Exodus 33 now. Because they might just get on my nerves and I might just break out in a fire and destroy them. So leave me out of it. Let them have what I promised them. Land flowing with milk and honey. The protection of the angels. You know, victory over the enemies. But I'm out. And you would think Moses would snatch at this thing and run with it. Moses eventually says to God in Exodus 33. He says, God, if you ain't coming, keep the promise back.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the protection. Keep the victory over our enemies. God, the only thing that distinguishes us from the other nations is not the Ten Commandments. It's not our remnant service. The thing that distinguishes us from the other nations is that your presence is with us. And the reason David could have said, one day my court is better than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. The reason he could have said that is that he wanted the promiser more than the promises.
Yes.
He wanted the blesser more than the blessing. He wanted the giver more than the gift. So many times, we end up worshiping the promises and we don't have a relationship with the promiser. We end up pleading and begging for the healing and we don't even know the healer. You got to get to the place where you want God more than his gifts, where you want his presence more than his promises, where you want his blessing, where you want the blesser more than the blessing. You got to get to the point where you are hungry for more and more of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you can truly be like David and pray one day in thy court is better than a thousand elsewhere. The third thing, so point one I said is happiness is a choice. Point two I said that you got to want God, you got to want the presence more than the promises. You got to hunger for God himself. It's like that song says, I worship you. I'm not for the mighty things that you have done, but I worship you for who you are. Let me tell you, you know what amazes me sometimes? As we talk about the end of time, we know that time is wrapping up. We know that we are nearer to the coming than when we first believed. So the issue is you gotta want God more than his blessing. So it's like the coming of Christ. We know it's soon. We know it's even at the door. We know that earth is not going to continue for long as we know it. No way, Jose. No way. But you know what? Let me tell you what I realize about some of us. Some of us are preparing to meet a Jesus we don't even know. Some of us are so focused on the signs of the time that we don't know the Savior that's going to end time as we know it. See? So the issue in order to have that joyful walk with God is he needs to be God in all that you do. You need to love him more than his stuff. The third thing I want to say is, you know, I do revivals around the globe. And sometimes I have the privilege to go preach at the same congregation that I did a revival at. And it breaks my heart over and over again that sometimes I meet these congregations worse than they were before I had the revival 2 or 3 years ago. And I keep asking, what happened? What went wrong? And you know what I've learned? I have learned that people believe in what I like to call an automated spirituality. You know, like for instance, my mortgage. I don't go to the bank every month to deposit a check. I set this thing up. Bill pay or automatic withdrawal where they just take the money out every month. You know, it's really easy. It's very convenient. A lot of us think that our spirituality is like that. That we accept God, we get revived, and then naturally we stay revived. That's not true. I like what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. He said, First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15:35, he said, I die daily.
Yes.
Revival ought to be a daily thing. I die daily. Because listen, family, if you die daily, he's going to resurrect you daily. Hallelujah. If you die daily, he's going to give you life on a daily basis. If you are crucified with Christ, nevertheless, you live, yet not you, not I. But Christ lives in us. Christ lives in us.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Amen.
Christ lives in us. So it needs to be a It needs to be a daily investment. A daily investment drinking from the Word. A daily investment being still in prayer. That's how you get to the point where one day night course is better than 1,000 elsewhere. One day night course is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I want to share one more thing. One more thing. I tell churches, Pastor Brooke, when I preach, that I preach like my weight, my height, short and heavy. So I need to be faithful to my mantra. One last thing. When we show up to church on Sabbaths or you know, Sundays, you know, I don't know who is on the line. But when you show up to church, let me ask you this. Where is God? Is God the audience if you had to pick a place? Or is God the preacher? Is God on the pulpit? Or is God in the pew? You know, for most of us, God is on the pulpit. And that's why we go to church and we just expect to get. Feed me. Tell me. Inspire me. So it becomes your quick fix. You know, it becomes your happy pill, as it were. Whereas in the Hebrew mindset, called them Nisams, right? In the Hebrew mindset, to give you some cultural perspective, they did not see God on the pulpit. They see God in the audience. When they showed up to minister to him. That's why David could say, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Bring an offering and bless him. They saw God in the audience. They showed up to honor him. They showed up to talk about his greatness to him. They showed up to blow kisses to him and to bless him and to honor him. And let me tell you, man, let me tell you, there's a little cliche that we have going around when praises go up and blessings come down. There's a truth to that, especially when you show up to give God honor. So I'm saying that the psalmist says, one day in thy courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. In fact, I want to just read it for you in the New American Standard Version. For a day in thy court is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tent of wickedness. No, family, my prayer tonight is that God would create a hunger for him in us. And we would pray like that little girl said, we prayed, she said, Lord, fill me to overflowing. She said, I can't hold a great deal, but I can overflow a lot. I pray that we would want to be on our tippy toes, reaching and craving for more and more of Christ in our lives. Remember point one, to have David experience, you got to know happiness is a choice. You got to plan for it. You got to be practical. Point two is you got to want the present more than the promises. You got to want his presence more than his presence. You got to want the giver more than the gift, the blesser more than the blessing, the healer more than the key. Point three, how could you have that experience one day in night course? Point three is that you need a never-ending revival. It's got to be a daily thing. I mean, we refreshing ourselves tonight, but man, you got to break that word open tomorrow and let God just pour into you. It needs to be daily. There's no automated spirituality. And point number four is, you need to show up at the house of worship to bless God, not just to receive. You know, the excitement for David is that he came to bring something to honor his creator. Come just pray for us, and then we can proceed with the program. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for those who are listening. We thank you for this transforming experience of this preaching prayer testimony line. Thank you for Pastor Brooks and for how you have used him. Thank you for the team. Thank you for the listeners. May we continue to grow from strength to strength. And God, my prayer is as a people that we truly be hungry for you. In the name of our friend and the one who transformed my life, Jesus, who we call the Christ, and everybody says, amen.
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 Further, I think it would be very appropriate for us at this point to have a series of prayers. And what I want to piggyback on what you presented to us on something that when you were speaking, I was reminded that I've read a statement not too long ago, maybe a month or so ago, that there are thousands of people who belong to churches, members who attend, but they have never experienced God in the church. And if they don't find him in the church, the implication is that they have never experienced God in the church or outside the church. And so, a day in your courts, better than 1,000 outside, and you illuminated that so well, so clearly. But to think that people outside, generally, majority, I would say, are without God and without hope in the world. That's what Paul said. In the Barner Report says that only 6% of the people who profess faith in Christ in the United States, only 6% keep all the commandments in serving Christ, which indicates that people know his name and they hear, but something has gone wrong, that we're omitting the presence. So I think it's important for us, as we have a session of prayer, that we pray that not only do we spend that day in his courts, which is better than 1,000 days outside, but that when we spend that day with him, that we really meet the Lord. We really come into his presence and have an experience and encounter with God. So I would like, if we had at least 3, maybe 4, let's just say 4 prayers, don't have to be long, but if we could have 4 people to pray, that God will give us the experience that we have learned tonight, to have that experience a day in his courts, but not just in his court, but in his presence in his court.
We have Jesus deceiving me. All his wonderful passion and purity. May the Spirit divine on my being refine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. When your burden is heavy and hard to bear, when your neighbors refuse all your load to share, when you're feeling so blue, don't know just what to do, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. When somebody has been so unkind to you, some word is spoken that pierces you through and through. Think how he was begun, spat up and unreviled. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. From the dawn of the morning, close of day, in example, in deed and in all you say, lay your gifts at his feet, ever strive to keep sweet. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen.
Amen.